T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You think he comes back to New England?
I do.
Mike.
I do, Steve.
I'm not Mike.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You think I'm pretty naive, don't you?
I love you to death.
Dale Arnold.
Man, you were great to me, Boston.
And it's been a blast.
My family and I thank you.
Love coming to work every day.
Rich Key.
Cody Bellinger's job, get informed, know the facts for sure. If you don't know the facts, then you gotta shut the
Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart.
Skerfuffle.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Six...
Pretty.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number 3, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. When and if Tom Brady departs from New England, when and if Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft sit at a press conference to introduce the next quarterback of the New England Patriots, is it fairly safe to say that they'll handle said press conference more efficiently than anything Major League Baseball has touched over the last week or two?
Yes, first and foremost, because they probably won't have that press conference. There will be a guy who competes.
Well, if
on
they
the
sign
field,
a guy like, pick your guy, pick Andy Dalton.
If they will not have a press conference. They might have a conference call with the player, but they will not have a sit down and here's the player and Bill and a jersey. They don't do that anymore. They don't. And that's part of... They're not going to fuel the media cycle and the stories and extend and give themselves the opportunity to step in it. Nope. He will be like player, shows up on the field and then you post practice on June 6th for minicamp. He'll talk to the media.
Wouldn't it be something if player was Marcus Mariota and the first day of workouts down behind Gillette Stadium, he trots out wearing jersey number 12?
Yeah, I don't think that'll happen.
Yeah, that might not happen. Look, I think that... For the most part, everything that Major League Baseball has touched here recently has been a disaster. I don't want to overstate today's press conference with Tom Werner and John Henry and Sam Kennedy, but I will say, if they're actually trying to sell Red Sox fans on the fact that they made this deal with the LA Dodgers, not because of a need to get under the CBT threshold, but because it was a good baseball deal, that's an epic fail.
Yes, they continue to contradict themselves and say things in various degrees of sort of certainty and strength and bravado. And you're not going to sell anybody on that unless you're the old, I could sell ice to an Eskimo.
Right.
Even that guy would struggle selling Red Sox fans that this didn't have anything to do with money. It started with money. I also thought in the middle there, there was sort of from Sam Kennedy the implication we didn't shop him, until this deal came to us.
We'll hear from Sam Kennedy, who claims the trade of Mookie Betts and David Price to the LA Dodgers was not, in fact, a salary dump.
Yeah, well, it's understandable that people could view this transaction as a way to rid yourself of some salary obligations that goes along with it. But as John mentioned, it was a determination that we needed to make as we went into the conversations with Mookie and his representatives. We had a hard decision to make, and we decided that it was in the best interest of the baseball operation to go forward with this transaction to get substantial value back in exchange for two great players. There is an economic system that we all operate under, and there are clearly certain advantages by resetting and getting under. But we've tried to be clear that this was not exclusively about the CBT and getting under that CBT threshold. There would have been other ways to have done that. You don't trade Mookie Betts to get under the CBT. We traded Mookie Betts and David Price and got back significant value in return. And as John said, we know it's painful. We know know it hurts. We're baseball fans first and foremost, and we understand that there's disappointment, there's anger, and now it's our job to continue to do what we've done for the last 19 years here, and that's make every effort to win a World Series championship. We want our fifth championship. We're hungry for it, and this is the group that has been together for two decades working towards that goal each and every year.
And here's the problem with Sam's answer. And I understand, you know, there's a certain amount of salesmanship that is involved. You're not going to say anything bad about the players you acquire. You're going to try to put as positive a spin on this as you can. I get that. I really do. The fact of the matter is you traded the 2018 MVP. You traded a Cy Young Award winner. You traded those two players for Alex Verdugo, Jeter Downs, and Connor Wong. Don't try to sell me that this was a baseball deal. It was not. You got prospects. You hope against hope that those prospects work out. Who knows? I know what the other two can do.
Can I try to extend their point and play devil's advocate?
Oh, good.
Okay, so part of the value of this trade are the prospects you've gotten. And I firmly believe
Verdugo was the Dodgers' top prospect, number 35 in Major League Baseball a year ago. Jeter Downs was the Dodgers' third highest ranked prospect on the 2020 top 100 list at number 44. Connor Wong was the 28th ranked prospect on the Dodgers at the end of last year.
You got a top prospect with Major League experience, another close to their top prospect who a lot of people think has a lot of upside.
Yeah.
And that there's value in that. Wong, the more I read, it sounds like he's a backup catcher. I don't mean to be totally dismissive.
A utility backup catcher.
Right, who plays...
Can play second base if we need him to.
So we replace Brock Holt in 3 years or whatever. But the other aspect of that is, and I know they're trying to distance themselves from this, is the financial flexibility moving forward. There is a value to that in a total package, correct?
Yes, say it.
They're afraid to, for whatever reason.
It's okay to say, listen.
And they get close. Like he said, we understand there's an economic system that we all play within. Say the next sentence. Say it.
It's okay to say the Yankees reset the CBT threshold for themselves to their advantage, then could go out and make a gigantic offseason free agent signing. The Dodgers reset their CBT threshold as well because it's smart, good baseball. Here's the one thing I think that they're fearful of. And probably correctly so. They will never say anything that even hints at being negative about Mookie Betts, even if in their heart of hearts what they want to say is, we were never going to be able to sign him.
Right.
He wasn't going to sign here. You know, we weren't going to let him just walk for a fifth-round compensatory pick, which may, by the way, be the truth as they see it, but they don't want to say that because that would reflect negatively on him.
Right. The only thing they did say, they wanted him to be a Red Sox for life. You know,
and I don't think that's wrong. Right. I think they did.
Right, at their price. That's a little Belichickian,
too. Well, even at their price, but even at a price a little less exorbitant than 12 years, $420 million.
Right.
According to Lou's reporting, when the Red Sox made their significant offer, by the way, 10 years, $300 million, and Mookie's side reportedly came back with 12 at 420. If you're $120 million apart, you're probably not closing that gap anytime soon.
Right, but I've always questioned that. People say, he wasn't negotiating. Well, he sort of did. You put an offer on the table, 10 and 300. Isn't negotiating, I think you're low, I'm going to come in high, 12 and 420. I believe that is a step toward negotiation. Now, I don't know whether there was any ability to extend that willingness on either side. Because, right, the old school thing is, 10 and 300, 12 and 420. Well, how about something 11? We split the difference on the years and 360, right? That's the old school, just sort of meet in the middle of your numbers negotiating. Would either side have had any willingness to do that? Now, I don't think Mookie would.
Exactly.
I think Mookie,
which is
and you
the
heard
thing,
JBJ
the Reds,
articulate
the Red Sox
this.
Don't want to say that,
right.
And to their credit.
Right.
It would be easy, maybe they'd even whisper it. You can get it from me, but I'm telling you, he wasn't signing here.
Right.
I don't think they're doing that.
See, I also don't think that is accurate either. I don't think he isn't signing here. He's getting to free agency. And I really thought the other day when JBJ talked to the Greg Hill show.
If he goes and signs some 10-year, $300 million deal with the Dodgers this summer.
That's not good.
Oh.
And I don't think he will. I think he's going to free agency.
I agree.
Now, he could sign less in free agency. Because 12 and 420 may not be realistic. The market may say, nope, you're not a 12-4-20. I don't know what the market's going to present to him. I think he wants to get to the market. I think there's a lot of talk of, it's the typical baseball thing. You know, the rising tide lifts all ships. It's our, the past did it for us. We owe it to the future to do this, to extend. Jonathan Papelbon was a guy. I'm going to free agency. I'm going. That's what we do. We're a union. We're a strong union. There's a reason we're a strong union.
By the way, I hated it when Papelbon said it. I would hate it when Betts says it as well. You need to worry about you.
Yes.
First and foremost, stop worrying about the guy who's a high school senior now.
But what
who's coming up in, you know, 10 years from now? How about if you worry about you first? If what would make you the happiest is to stay right here, but I can't do that because I owe it to the guys coming behind me. No, you don't.
Well,
you don't owe them anything.
There is a strong argument for what you said, and I'm a firm believer in that. You got to do you, as they say.
Yeah.
If you are happy in Boston, don't learn what Carl Crawford and David Price and these other people learn, that, you know what? Money's not everything. I don't necessarily need the highest offer. Go where you're comfortable. But I also think the reason Major League Baseball got to these contracts and got to the power of their union is because they did have that groupthink mentality to lift everybody up and the future will benefit from what I do now and all those things. So it's a fine line to walk if you're a player. But if I were a player, I would prioritize. I'm a hometown guy here. I don't want
to
leave.
Yeah, what matters to me most is me and my family.
Right.
And obviously, I'm putting myself in a player's position. I want to be paid fairly. I don't want to take 50 cents on the dollar. All of that stuff is true. But don't tell me my responsibility is for the high school senior today.
Right.
I bear no responsibility for that guy.
And how, in any way, I can't envision you signed for 10 and 300, Red Sox. Union's going to be mad.
Yeah.
Like the union says, what do you do? You only got 10 years and $300 million? You've set baseball players back 10 years, Mookie Betts. You screwed us. You screwed the net. I mean, come on. Did he leave a little money on the table? Maybe. Has Tom Brady screwed quarterbacks all around the NFL by leaving money on the table for years?
Probably.
But I don't hear a lot of complaints about it.
And I
see Jimmy do okay.
And there's
and
an
Russ
even better
Wilson
example than that. When did Mike Trout go to free agency?
Right. But he got a lot of money.
Yes, he did. But did he have to go to free agency to get it? Did he get what he thought was good for he and his family and fair? There are those of us who think that, you know, if you don't ever want to play in a playoff game, stay there at that contract because you're killing the Angels by doing it. But he's never gone to free agency to get the last dollar he can get because I have responsibility for the players coming behind me.
I actually wonder if you did a survey and did a research project, the get the every dollar I can, I have a responsibility. How often does that work out? I bet you the get what I can, get what I'm worth, but go to the right spot for me. I bet you that works out more often for the player, for the team, for everybody involved. I bet you it just works out more often.
And I agree with you. I think he has been determined he was going to go to free agency. I think he's been determined that, you know, he was going to set the bar, maybe not the Trout bar, but right behind it. But I'm not sure that ultimately. So let's say that the best offer out there is, you know, from God knows, the Texas Rangers.
Right.
So I have to go there now because they gave me the most money. And I've set myself up that I got to do that now.
I would hope not. I mean, that's a bad decision.
I mean, you try to talk yourself into it, I guess.
And you can. I mean, because listen, these guys spend half their life on the road, right? They have all the money in the world so they can live wherever they really want in the offseason. They can have the nicest house in any city they move to, the nicest condo, apartment, they can travel people, they can do whatever they want. But the reality is, I mean, you saw David Price talk a little bit about it going to L.A. and the fact that, you know, the newspapers and the media market and things here that he clearly bristled at and didn't like and papers trying to outdo each other doesn't exist. Now he's in some little back picnic table for the Dodgers out in Arizona and no one seems to care and kid walks, hey, are you David Price? Great, that was David Price. Keeps right on walking.
Yeah,
there's differences everywhere. So once he gets to the market, if he makes the decision just solely based on the biggest contract,
then
because
you're
he's
making
beholden
a huge mistake.
Because your family's family is set for life, either any of the contracts you sign, whichever one you sign.
Yeah, if you had taken the Red Sox offer that Lou talked about, you were doing just fine. Thank
this
you.
Isn't like a John Lester thing where they came in with some disrespectful, oh my God, they
which
offered what?
They really did.
Right.
They really truly did disrespect him.
Right. I don't think $300 million is ever disrespectful to anyone.
Tom Caron, my Nesson colleague, tweeted out a few moments ago because apparently he, within the last few minutes, taped an interview with Tom Werner. He wrote, and I'm quoting, Red Sox chairman Tom Werner told me the team would have still traded Mookie Betts for this package even if the team was already below the MLB competitive balance tax threshold.
So they believe they could not re-sign Mookie Betts. That's what that's telling
that's
you.
They're not saying those words because they don't want to say anything bad about him. Because, I mean, guess theoretically, maybe we could sign him in the offseason when he becomes a free agent.
That'd be great. That would be one of the, you know, we're in the midst of what I think is one of the greatest sports stories ever with Tom Brady. That would be one of the greatest sports stories. I know Chapman did it with the Yankees, but this is next level. If they, now I think there's
almost no chance.
Yeah, no chance of it happening, but that would be a fun story.
Jay's in Salem. Hey, Jay, how you doing?
Hi, you guys. How you doing? I'm usually a night caller, but I wanted to listen in on the Red Sox management comments. And it's a good thing you had Mr. Girardi on and some football talk because calmed my blood pressure down a little bit. I'm Joe Average fan. I've been following the Red Sox since, Jesus, I was 11 or something. Whether I had the money to spend in the good seats or the bleachers, I was always there. And please do not tell me you got some great products for value with these guys that are coming in. There were 3 points. I actually wrote them down. And another thing that was mentioned, well, they were talking about, you know, thinking about the fans. We're all for the fans. But the two fan groups, well, the only fan group they talked about were season ticket holders. And then they went to sponsors. And then they went to somebody else. Community
partners or something like that.
Oh, okay. Yep. Well, you know, I'm not a season ticket holder. I'm certainly not a sponsor. I'm that dude that, like, buys tickets every year to sit, you know, in the lower bleachers or whatever. But I've been doing it for 30 years. And so that tells me who they're thinking about. And then there was something about October spending, and we're all about October spending. What? I mean, what did we get last year for October spending?
I'll say this in their defense, and I've already criticized this deal, Jay. They have done the job here. They have spent money. You may disagree with how they spend it, but they have spent a lot of money on payroll here. They've spent a lot of money on improving the ballpark as much as they could improve it. And they have over the course of 19 years, we said this before the press conference, so I'm not puppeting Sam Kennedy here. They've won 4 World Series titles.
Right.
It's kind of hard to say that Red Sox ownership has screwed this up. They haven't. They may have screwed up this individual case, but if they had been convinced, look, if we offered him 12 and 420, then he'd say, okay, then I know what I can take to free agency as my floor here. I think they became convinced we weren't going to be able to get him signed, so I understand trading him. I do. Now, they did get the number 1, number 3, and number 28 prospect on the LA Dodgers prospect list at the end of last year. So they didn't get nothing.
Right. Well, the number 1... we'll see when they get him because he has a bad back.
Now, their story is they knew about that when they made the deal.
Oh, I believe they did because there were plenty of reports. There was a report that as of like January 31st, he hadn't been cleared. This was very much out there. People knew of this. But the question is it worth it? I mean, we're not doctors, right? We don't pretend to be doctors. I mean, I guess sometimes we pretend to be doctors, but we're not doctors. If he's fine, if this is just a delayed thing where, it's going to delay his debut, it's not going to be opening day, it might be later in April, May, whatever, and then it's gone, it'll never be an issue again. I just am always doubtful of back injuries. I'm always hesitant of back injuries.
Absolutely.
Because you see them, sometimes they go away, and then they come back. You know, Rob Gronkowski had a back injury coming to the league, then he had back issues in the NFL. Would he still be playing if he didn't have those? I don't know. You know, Sebastian Vollmer from my world, back injury, you got him value, and then the back injury came back. So I think back injuries are always a concern. Golfers, football players, baseball players, the torque, it's always a concern. But if you remove the back injury, you're right, they got a great prospect. But what are you looking for that great prospect to be? Mookie Betts.
Yeah. Well, you hope.
If I hit the lottery, he's Mookie
you'd
Betts.
You'd be thrilled.
Right. So it's that you're treat.
And my guess is, he may be the best prospect in the Dodgers organization that you got, Alex Verdugo, with the physical problems. I understand that. You signed Kevin Pillar because you didn't think that Alex Verdugo was ready to take over and be a regular outfielder at this stage of his career.
Right. And Jeter Downs, by all accounts, it's going to be a little while before maybe he has an impact. Connor Wong is just,
I will say, and from Chaim Bloom's perspective, he inherited an organization in which the minor league depth had been decimated. It had been used by Dave Dombrowski, I would make the argument correctly so, to help you win World Series.
Yes.
So, you traded guys away, you won a world title, you live with it. But Chaim Bloom arrives going, God, I got nothing down there.
Well, if you bring this up, if in 2001 or two, somewhere in there, you were just having some hypothetical discussion about Red Sox ownership, and somebody said, this ownership group won 4 World Series titles with the Boston Red Sox in a 19-year span, your hypothetical response would be, I mean, they're considered the greatest ownership ever.
Well, they are.
They're like, they can do no wrong. You trust them.
I don't know about that.
You trust them to the end. Yep. You know, in Bill, you trust. Well, in John and everybody else, we trust, right? I mean, they did something that hadn't been done in 86 years. They had, you know, they did things that people didn't think could be done with Fenway Park. It had to go. It's a dump. And some people still may believe that.
Yeah.
But, you know, they did all these things. Hypothetically, you'd say, no one will question them. And yet this group gets questioned endlessly. And I'm not saying they've been perfect, because they've gone up and down and made mistakes, and, you know, Bobby Valentine and player decisions and contract decisions.
We talked about John Lester already.
That's where I thought the press conference got a little interesting or dicey when Sean McAdam asked, well, you said you've known for more than a year that you needed the CBT was going to be an issue. Why'd you green light the Sale contract, the Evaldi contract, $200+ million? Because it feels like by green lighting those, you also green lit Mookie being out of town. Now, if they weren't going to be able to sign Mookie regardless, that's a part of that.
See, that's
but it got
thing.
A little dicey.
I think that, and I think it was Sam who said, you know, they could have gone below the CBT threshold without trading Mookie Betts. And they could have. They would have figured out a way, but they were convinced they weren't going to be able to keep him anyway.
Right. And
that's
doing those other things, you wouldn't have gotten the top prospect from somebody. So theoretically, you can sell me on, if you say you got value for Mookie Betts, I know most people will say, you got value? You got a receiver with a an outfielder with a
bad
back. What
you got was better than the 5th round compensatory pick that you would have gotten.
But if you blend in the financial flexibility moving forward and not having to pay, there was that story, I forgot who did it. Was it Heyman?
Jason Stark.
Stark did it. On, you know, you sign this player for $300 million, it's actually $700 million because of the tax.
Yep.
Like, if you look at that as part of this story, you know, to take it to the real world, people that pay PMI, you feel like you're paying for nothing, right? It's just, where does that money go? I'm paying for nothing. That's what the Red Sox would be doing, paying for nothing down the road. They've eliminated some of that. If you muster that value into the overall deal, maybe you can sell yourself on it wasn't as bad as it looks.
Mark's in Brookline. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. So, Red Sox management, I'm not a huge fan of them, by the way. They've done some good things, but I think you guys
are... Yeah, like 4 World Series titles?
Yeah, pretty impressive. I mean, to me, when I listen to the press conference...
And I'm not arguing with you, by the way, Mark. I'm just curious.
Right.
Why aren't you a fan of them?
I have a little trouble trusting everything they say, I guess, but there've been some moments where
you trust everything Bill Belichick says.
No, but I'm not a huge fan of him. I mean, you know, I'm a huge fan of his winning, but not of his presentation. Right. Let's put it that way.
He's 10 titles, and Mark's not impressed.
Well, no, I'm impressed. I'm impressed with the results, actually, of both organizations. But actually, I was basically going to defend the Red Sox in this case, and you guys have hit on it, Dale, in particular, I think, which is that. I mean, what are you going to say at a press conference when the facts are pretty clear, I think, here? Maybe there's some missing information, but Betts wanted to go to the place that was going to give them the most money, and they were probably interested. They thought probably a $300 million deal over 10 years was actually a pretty good offer, and were probably interested in more like a $200 million deal and the right amount of years, 6 years or something like that. And Betts obviously wanted to go for, you know, wanted to go for broke here. And if they're not signing up for that, what are you going to say? You can't really say, well, we couldn't get it done because Betts wanted the most money imaginable in the history of baseball, and we're not really going down that route. That kind of makes them look bad by saying that, I would say. They don't want to kick them out of town because they've gotten a lot of, well, that's one thing I don't like about them, back to the other point. They haven't been great about people that have left town. So I think they're in kind of a lousy position of having to defend this situation, because it looks pretty clear to me that this is really on Betts and his decision to make the most money possible. He can talk about, you know, protecting the union, but And maybe it is. Well, maybe there's some small fraction.
And I'll say this. I mean, he's earned the right to make the most money possible. I mean, he has done everything the right way, personally and professionally, as far as we know. We don't know of any issues. So he has absolutely earned the right. And if he's got somebody out there who's going to give him 12 and 420, why should he not take it?
No, I never fault the player for getting their market value. Because if they get it, that's literally their market value. Yep. It only takes one team to set the market. And if they get it, the market has been set, and I will never fault a player.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Heartburn's coming up in just a few minutes. We'll get back to your calls on the other side. It's Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart, and it's time to trend.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Dale and Keefe.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
Listen every day at 8:30, 12:30, and 4:30 this week for your chance to win a trip to Aruba. Visit weei.com/Aruba. Enter the code word SCUBA. Or if Wiggy were doing this read, SCUBA. No, no, it's SCUBA. SCUBA. Right now for a chance to win an all-inclusive five-night, six-day trip for two to Aruba. You'll stay at Divi Village Golf and Beach Resort. This is the third pronunciation I've had for this. I think I've got it right this time, but no guarantee.
Divi?
Divi. I tried that one too. No, I'm told it's Divi Village Golf and Beach Resort. Well, where you'll enjoy access to 10 freshwater pools that offer everything from water slides to quiet adult areas and swim-up bars. So enter the code word SCUBA right now at weei.com/Aruba for your chance to win a getaway to Aruba, one happy island. Your next chance to win comes at 4:30 today with Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier. It's brought to you by Divi Village Golf and Beach Resort and the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
How could you be so heartless?
He's bold.
Shut the hell up.
He's brash.
If Mutt ever had testicles, I took them from him a week ago.
If you cross him.
Does his microphone put up a little less fight than the one last night?
He'll turn you to ash. Dale and Keefe presents...
The idiot producer dropped us off on the wrong side.
Heartburn.
I do not think Brady is playing at an elite level, a high level.
With Andy Hart.
Andy Fart.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
So the idea here is my buddy Andy Hart does not know the subjects which I'm going to toss in his direction.
No.
Which is the good part of it, by the way.
But that's like saying the spark doesn't know the gasoline is coming.
Well, let's just see, shall we? All right, let's start with this one. Pro Football Focus.
Again, you want me to shred them? I mean, I know every time I go on Twitter, I get a new piece of fuel or meat for this bone. Do you read them? You know how you're not supposed to use...
Sure. The ones that Sam Monson writes that I like, I take... Oh,
it's what we all do.
That's intelligent. Look, Tom Brady's much better than we thought.
It's what we all do. But in the end, Why do we put so much focus, no pun intended, on a few guys from around the planet who sit down with a VHS tape and grade film the way they choose to grade it?
Scotland or something.
It's unreal.
Yeah, I know.
Now, I give them credit. They created an industry, basically. This industry didn't actually exist before them, and they created it. It's genius. They got Collinsworth and NBC to buy in. They're making boku money. You ever look to see how much it costs to try to get like a media pass or what? It's ridiculous amounts of money they are making. It's the greatest con job in the history of the world. The greatest.
I only read
unreal.
The first few lines because as soon as it gets to the paywall part, I go, no, I'm out.
Right. I'm not going to watch. Oh, you gave this guy a 69.7, and they embarrass themselves at time. But the biggest issue I have now is all their stories that they write when they cite their own grades as the reason. And I'm like, that's like going to the dictionary and looking for the definition of the word, and the definition is the word. You're the one. You came up with the grade. You can make it look however you want. Why are you smirking?
Because it's just so easy. It takes like nothing. All right, you ready for the next
one? Am I just here to make you guys laugh, to be a monkey?
Is that not the same thing as when you do your six-pack article and then you bring it on the air?
No, it's not the same
thing
at all.
It's just cross-content.
That's cross-promotion. I don't use my six-pack article as proof of my point.
This is a lot better than your crappy dad jokes.
No, Mike. Did you hear the one that's making the rounds everywhere these days?
Here we go.
What do you call fake spaghetti?
What, Andy?
An impasta.
Now, don't you even dare give him that.
That's good.
All right, next up, talking to coaches in bars at the Combine, which you'll be doing next week.
Well, I'll be trying to, but I go to bed early. You know, some of these people stay up till like 4 in the morning and then just get up and go to the press conference. I can't either.
I can't.
But that's how careers are made, in the bar rooms. But guess what? They're all drunk and they're telling you whatever you want to hear. They're all just BSing.
Well, like Antonio Brown has said now, he's going to the Combine next week.
Yes.
So that he can tell teams, hey, I'm available, because we wouldn't know that otherwise, right?
But you know what else is even better? Is half the time the people that are doing the talking are like the lowest of the low. They're, you know, the most regional of regional scout.
Right.
Yeah, he knows what Bill's doing.
He literally is there to transcribe the numbers that get read off at the weigh-in.
And we're going to ask him, so what you think Bill knows where Tom, what, how's this going to shake out? Well, I think Bill's going to do this. Yeah, his opinion and my opinion are the same. We are not directly tied to Bill Belichick. He hears things, I hear things. Neither of them are valuable right now.
Hot burn.
Only because Mike Giardi brought it up, I'll give you an opportunity to respond. Andy Dalton.
I don't understand this whole idea.
By the way, the fact that he has red hair is not his fault.
No, I didn't say it was. Well, it kind of is.
You did. You said in bad hair.
Well, he does. Can he fix it?
He has great hair. It's better than mine.
It is better than yours, but that's a you issue, not a him issue.
I wouldn't know. I've never seen Shime without a hat on.
That's why it's better than mine, Dale.
So he could dye his hair if he wanted to be taken seriously. This isn't something against gingers.
Wait a minute. Once you've been around, like, I thought about that at one point. You know, I'll just dye my hair because it's all great. Well, everybody's seen me with gray hair for X number of years. They're going to go, God, what did he do to his hair?
Yeah, I'm not dying either. I'm starting to get grays. I'm just letting them go.
It happens.
But the bigger issue with Andy Dalton is he stinks, right?
That's
the bottom line?
He's great.
He stinks. In the few times he's gotten to the playoffs, he's crapped himself like a Houston Texans quarterback.
Because his coach was Marvin Lewis.
Oh, we're blaming just the coach? Who was his wide receiver? Did he ever have talent around him? Who was his tight end? He had a pretty good tight end, pretty good wide receiver.
Marginal?
A.J. Green is marginal?
He's fine.
It was until like the last couple years, it was just A.J. Green on the Bengals.
Well, Tyler Eifert had a good year.
Did you see the numbers that when A.J. Green played and when A.J. Green didn't play, the team was completely different?
Yeah, because he's really good. So you should have maximized A.J. Green over the years. You didn't. And that's on Andy Dalton.
They maximized him when he was on the field, but he was
injured
all the time.
So you want Andy Dalton to be the next Patriots quarterback, the bridge.
I'd be happy with that.
$15 million bridge.
I'd be fine with
that. You know what a $15 million bridge should be called? Tom Brady. Why are we paying $15 million to Dalton and $13 million to Brady? That's $28 million for quarterback, and we're going to suck.
At the risk of defending a guy that I'm not that cranked up about anyway, he's completed 62% of his passes over his career, 204 touchdowns, 118 interceptions. He does not stink. There are quarterbacks who stink.
Do we have Bill Belichick?
Marcus Mariota stinks.
Yes, he does. Do we have Bill Belichick queued up? What are stats for?
How could I have possibly had that queued up?
Losers. Stats are for losers, Dale. And 62% completion percentage? Not that good. We just ripped Brady for 60 and change. In this day and age, you got to be up around 70. He stinks. You get to the postseason with Andy Dalton, you will fall on your face worse than you ever have before.
Really, the stats are for losers.
Thank you, Bill.
Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah, I'm a little hesitant to go where... I don't want to have little kids beating me up in the parking lot.
Shime's going to beat you up right now.
Girl Scout cookies suck. They're overrated. Horrible. They're overpriced, and they don't deliver.
I'm at that stage of my life at this moment where I'm not having any. Like the little girls who are down at, you know, by my local convenience store, and I have to go by and say, I'm sorry, I can't.
Hey, cheapskate, just give them the money and don't take the cookies.
I can do that. I don't have to take the cookies. Now, they're not called Samoas anymore. I don't remember what they're called now.
Caramel Delights.
Caramel Delights.
Drop that. I don't know if we're even allowed to say that anymore, Dale.
You can say
it's
it.
It's a type
That's
of
what
cookie.
They used to be called. Yeah.
Okay. Just make sure.
Was one of the great cookies ever.
Was.
Well, it still
I think
is.
They're, no,
got a different name
they're
now.
Not that good, and they are so overrated that they've grown. You see, they're everywhere. You get coffee and this flavored and candy bar. They have a TV show now. They have a Food Network TV show where every contestant has to make food out of Girl Scout cookies. They are not good.
They're delicious.
Go to your bakery. They are average run-of-the-mill box variety cookies.
And the s'mores cookies, they're
not
fantastic.
Good. They live off their legend. They live off their name. They live off your charitable spirit.
I'm
which
getting
is
a
all
delicious
good.
Snack and donating to kids.
I'm not saying don't buy them. I'm saying buy them and throw them out or buy them and let them keep them. Give them the money. I support the Girl Scouts. You're doing a fine job. You're going to be great women someday. But your cookies right now... You know what's happened? They've gone just too big. It got too big.
I'm just going to break the news to you. This is school vacation week, which means even as we're speaking right now, there are little girls in the back seat of their moms and dad's cars going, what's he saying about my cookies?
I hate Andy Hart.
You know what? I bet you the Girl Scouts could make much better cookies if I just ask these young women to make cookies. I bet you they're skilled enough to make a better quality product than the one that is mass-produced and put in their boxes and sold for like 8 times the actual value.
Heartburn.
I'm not sure if this one is for you or if it's for me because I have my own opinion about this. The viral video, it's been everywhere now, of the lady in the next-to-last row of seats on the airplane reclining her seat. The guy who's in the last row of seats, whose seat doesn't recline, then spends most of the trip punching the back of her seat.
For our purposes, should we just refer to them as jerk one and jerk two? Or
he's a bigger jerk than she is.
Sure, but she's a jerk too.
A gigantic jerk.
But she's a jerk.
Well, she has every right to recline her seat.
She does not.
Then why do they recline?
Because the airlines are stupid, too. They should not allow them to recline.
There are, by the way, some airlines which no longer have reclining seats.
They shouldn't.
She happened to be on one that did have a reclining seat. And if you pay for said reclining seat, you have the right to recline.
Well, I have the right to punch you in the face, but that doesn't mean
I'm
going to do it.
No, you don't. And he doesn't have the right to punch the back of her seat.
He's a bigger
donkey.
This was
a New Orleans to Charlotte flight, so it was not like they were flying to Egypt or something.
Right.
But there is no bigger nitwit on the planet than that guy.
I would agree, and I rooted for her to turn around and punch him in the face. I did. No question. But don't recline. If there's somebody behind you...
Or just say, excuse me, is it okay if I recline a little
bit? Sure. And
he
would have said, please don't. I can't recline. I am in the last row. They could have had a more polite exchange. But my biggest issue is you get nothing out of it. What does the seat recline? An inch? 2 inches? Like, you get very little out of it, and you're creating some stress in the person behind you. So guess what? If they recline, you recline. I said this the other day. I think the airline should say, bong, bong, just like the little bell and light for the seatbelt. It's now time for everybody to recline. Is anybody going to want to not recline? Right? What if they put a light on?
It depends on if sometimes if you're working on your laptop, you don't want to recline.
Okay, it doesn't recline that much, Dale. We're not in those fancy first class seats.
Neither,
we're back in coach,
am I,
right?
Usually either.
So it goes from here to here to here to here. Barely moves.
Which, by the way, is the reason why you don't punch it in the back of
the
seat
that's
for the whole
reason
trip.
Why you don't recline your seat. You're being a donkey.
You
and therefore donkeys get punched.
As you're not even suggesting that.
No, I'm not actually. But they
the
were both
fact
wrong.
Of the matter is, she's in a seat which she has every right to recline in. She paid for said seat. It reclines. She gets to use that feature if she so chooses.
Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. It's a lesson to live life by. Just because you can doesn't mean you
should.
Well,
she could have and should have turned around and punched him right in the nose.
Well, she can't, Dale.
Do you want to know how they could
okay
easily
either.
Fix this? The peasants should have just bought better seats.
Or
not in the back of the plane.
How about my idea where the light comes on and everybody reclines? All the
seats. Or if the guy just got a seat that reclined instead of sitting in the very back of the plane like an idiot.
But he's got a double issue. There's probably a toilet there, so he's got to smell everything everybody
does. Like, what are you doing? That's just the worst. It's like when you get on a bus, you don't sit in the back.
No, you do not.
I did not have an issue with the woman reclining her seat. Now,
why?
Let me finish. To be fair, the video picks up at a certain point. I don't know if she turned around and politely said, hey, listen, I'm just going to recline my seat a little bit. I don't know if she did that or not.
Well, she shouldn't do that if she's not going
to
listen.
Which is the polite thing to do.
Right, but if he says no and you recline.
But you cannot possibly suggest that what he did was okay.
No, I'm not saying that's okay. I don't hate it, but I'm not saying. Oh, no, I would never do it. I'd be mad.
What if he's doing it to your seat?
I would probably hit him. Yeah, I know I would hit him. I would do something.
I totally
would
hit him.
It would definitely be on.
Is that worse that a lady reclines her seat into you, or is it worse to have a young child kicking your chair the entire flight from behind?
At least the young child, I can say, okay, it's a kid. I'll talk to the parent. This guy's a grown-ass adult here punching the back of her seat like some moron.
Adults should know better. Children, you do have that little out of it doesn't know better.
Still annoying.
Did you see the other one that made the rounds? The woman who freaked out about the kid and was like, give me your badge number to the flight attendant. You won't have a job by the end of today. And the flight attendant beautifully goes, oh, really? I want her off the plane. She calls.
See ya.
The other woman starts freaking out. I'm sorry. I've been stressed. I didn't mean to say that. And she apparently lost her job. She was such a bad person. It's another one of those examples. She treated the flight attendant so poorly that she was removed from. She was the director of something for some something, blah, blah, blah. But she was a terrible, terrible human being. Guess what? You know who feels bad when the kid screams, whether it's at a restaurant or on an airplane? The parents. The parents are uncomfortable. They're not comfortable letting their kid scream.
No.
They are as stressed out as anyone because not only do they have to hear it.
Oh, no, more stress.
Right. They know that it's annoying other people, so they have it coming from all directions.
Yeah.
So don't be a donkey. That's the bottom rule here. Don't be a donkey.
And don't punch people's seat back.
Unless necessary.
It's never necessary.
Well, you just said you were going to punch the puncher. So it's two wrongs make a right?
I wish she had.
Is that what your mom taught you?
How much do you think her seat reclined?
None. That's the whole point of this issue.
So why is he hitting it then?
So why is she reclining it? She's not getting any extra pleasure out of it.
She gets to.
No, she does. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should, Dale.
I'm going to come over there and punch the back of your seat for this entire commercial.
He's threatening me.
617.
I don't feel comfortable in my work environment.
Now you know how I feel on a daily basis.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keith. With that jerk, Andy Hart, Sports Radio WEEI.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Ready for more?
Dale and Keith on WEEI.
Do you think there's anything the team could have done before the 2019 season that would have prevented having to trade Mookie this offseason?
Absolutely.
What examples?
We could have signed him to a long-term contract. But short of that.
So that was John Henry, who got asked during the ownership press availability today, was there anything they could have done to avoided trading Mookie Betts? He said, yeah, we could have signed him to a long-term contract. Hard to argue with that.
But they tried, right? Lou's report, multiple years, they went to him with very lucrative offers.
10 years, $300 million is very lucrative.
Yeah, I consider that an effort. You made an effort. And he wasn't looking to go in that direction. Now, I think the other aspect of that question is the financial, the CBT stuff, is could you have not done things? You know, Sean McAdam got into it, maybe not sign Sale, maybe not sign Eovaldi, some of these other bad contracts along the way that have them with a payroll north of whatever it was, $236, $240 million
right.
before the trade. But that doesn't necessarily, okay, so that may fix the CBT question, but does it also fix the question about Mookie? Because I don't know if you saw Rob Bradford, who's down in spring training covering for WEEI.com.
Heard of him, yeah.
He wrote the story about how...
Did he throw Nick Fryer out?
I think he did send Nick home. Back to the Celtics beat. Oh, you're boy. Off the Sox.
Okay, Nick.
Nice job, Nick, though. Thanks for covering.
Well done.
You know, there's this discussion point that it was close last year to trading Mookie Betts at the deadline. And then the Red Sox won, I think it was 3 games against the Yankees, and maybe Dombrowski thought, okay, this was in the works potentially. And I wonder how that would have played. Think of that now. If Dombrowski makes that trade, is Dombrowski still the president of baseball operations for the Red Sox? Was he going to be done either way? Was he done because he didn't trade Mookie and then the bottom fell out of the season? Okay, now you got to go because I need somebody who needs to clean the books, rebuild this. You're not the guy. That's not what you do. We need somebody who's going to trade away assets for young players, draft well, make all these things happen, and that's not you. So a lot happened, if you believe these reports or theories, within a couple wins against a division rival.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Andy Hart's in the house. Rich Keefe is off celebrating presidents.
What do you think all he of does? Them. Does he have a beard on? He sits, a wig for George Washington?
I'm thinking he sits in his basement drinking a craft beer and occasionally tips his beer and says, Grover Cleveland.
No chance he says Grover Cleveland. There is absolutely no chance he... He's lucky if he says Donald Trump or Barack Obama.
Well, whatever
you think
it
he
is,
knows who Grover Cleveland is?
Well, I just threw
there
one out.
There is no way. The beer part, I believe. No, drinking part. In his basement, I believe.
617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.